Blog Talk Radio.
Choosing the best possible life. And the reason I want to talk about this is for one simple reason. The life you choose is your choice. The problem is that for so many of us, we have other people deciding for us how we should live our life. And guess what? You shouldn't let anyone tell you how to live your life, because you know what? Your personality, your uniqueness determines how you should live your life. So, you have only one life, and no one else will live it for you. Shouldn't you take the time right now to figure out what that life is all about? Excuse me. Someone once said that there are three most important decisions in life. Answer the following questions. What are you going to do, with whom, and where? I thought that was a pretty nifty when I first encountered it 15 years ago. Today, I still think it is practical wisdom wrapped in a nutshell. From time to time, we should stop and consider the choices we have made and can still make, however old we are, so that we can have the best possible life. My career is 300 words. First of all, let me explain to you. As someone with a disability, there were always limited options available to me because I grew up in an era when there were no laws guaranteeing that people with disabilities had the right to an education, much less the right to employment. And I entered the workforce 15 years before the Americans with Disabilities Act became law. So therefore, it was up to me to make the right choices for myself, because if I left it up to my parents, believe me, I would not be living independently today. I would not have an income. I would be living on a disability check in my mother's home until she died. And then I would be living with my sister. And my sister happens to be deaf, had a lot of potential, because they kept telling her, you're helpless, you're worthless, you can't live on your own, you can't think for yourself, you can't hold it. It was always what you can't do as opposed to what you can do. So guess what? I had to make that decision for myself. My mother looked at my education as something that was just something that was occupying my time and keeping me busy and keeping me out of her hair. For me, it meant the opportunity to live a better life, to become independent. And part of that is you have to remember is what is your personality. Some people are very reserved and have to be pushed out into the public. That's why they become the researchers, the secretaries. They do the things where they work alone, but they don't have to deal with anyone because they're not very verbal. And they tend to do things by the book. But if you're very outgoing in this, you have a lot of options. And as you can see, the fact that I do what I do and that I can speak with a good voice without hesitation, that's because I've been doing it for many years. And a lot of that is just also my effort, and partly because I had a personality where I was very outgoing to begin with. So let me explain to you that because I'm a good speaker, because I'm very verbal and have good verbal skills, when I first entered the workforce back when I was 16 years old, I used to work for magazine companies where most of my work was looking at a wall, on the phone, just dialing numbers. And that is very boring, just saying the same thing over and over and over again. And I got bored doing it. So guess what? I never stayed with any one company for any length of time. But I looked at it as an opportunity to gain the skills I need. And eventually, when I graduated college, and you got to remember, for someone with a disability who learned differently and the schools did not gear education to special needs children at that time, then I was usually two or three or four or five steps behind other students, because by the time I understood the first thing that they were talking about, what happened was they were usually at another point discussing something else. So a lot of my learning, a lot of it really took place on my own, and that's why I'm more easily able to adapt to the new economy, to be able to use computers, because by reading, even history for me was a very difficult thing, because especially if you were to read it and go back and study it and go back and take a test, I did very poorly. But if you gave me the information and told me and showed me how to use it in a practical sense, that's how I learned. The problem is that teachers can't adapt to each child's needs. So what happens is, if you don't understand or you can't learn in the method that the teacher teaches, then guess what? You don't show your capability. So therefore, how you do in school should not be how someone judges you. And yet it is how people judge us. And then once I graduated college, I went to work for the state. And initially, when I lived in New York, I worked for the city of New York doing welfare recertification. And it, you know, what happened was, with the way it was set up then, was they would call people in every so many months, and they would just have us sitting at desk, and they would just send up 100 people to each different floor every hour. And then what happened was that for you to be able to see all these people, you didn't have time to really sit with them and get to know them and find out their situation. You just had to take their information, put it aside, and get to it later. So, and it was mostly paperwork. It really had nothing to do with what getting to know the individual, what their specific needs were. Then I had the opportunity to leave New York and come and go back home to Georgia and work with an agency that served people with developmental disabilities. So guess what? Now, when you work under the merit system in Georgia, you have to go through a 6-month probationary period. When I took this job, I didn't know that the supervisor did not have the degree that qualified for her job. What happened was, she was running a program that when the laws changed, it became part of the state, and so they automatically made her the executive director. So every 6 months, she was having a new person come into that position, because either once they gained they went through the probationary period and passed it, many of them would either be fired by her because she felt threatened by them, or they would just get back on the merit system and go into another position and leave that position. And what happened to me was, I was forced out and then could not find anything else within the state. And because I had an entrepreneurial spirit anyway and would have eventually become an entrepreneur, then what happened was, I just looked at my education, I looked at my experience, and I decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And along the way, because I was under rehabilitation services in school, because I have a disability and my father died just as I was entering college, that what rehabilitation services is, it's an agency that helps people with disabilities get the education so they can get gainful employment. Yes, you have to keep up a certain grade point average. At the same time, I was dealing with a lot of issues going on in the family, and my counselor did say to me, we need to deal with these issues because they're affecting how well you're doing in school. They basically said to me, if you get yourself put out one more time, we're not going to pay for it. And since my father had been a lawyer and had left us financially secure, my mother was able to pay for my education and sending me to college was just her way of keeping me busy. I looked at it as, how am I going to get this education and how am I going to use these skills in the future? So the thing is, how are you going to do those same things for yourself? Because, you know, you have to make that choice for yourself. And along the way, I've tried various different things that have, as an entrepreneur, but my biggest thing is that I've always wanted to help people. And that's why my background is mental health and psychology and rehabilitation counseling. And what I do is I'm a career and personal development strategy coach. And what that means is I help people understand what personal issues they have that are holding them back from achieving their goals in life and overcome them. Then once we've done that, then we work on how are you, what type of personality, what career, or what hobby do you have that you can turn into a job or a career and earn an income? Because you know what? We all have hobbies that we love to do, and when you're in a job or you have your own business doing something that you really love to do, then guess what? Then it's not a job anymore. It's a career. So you need to look at how are you going to do the things that you really want to do. And I believe that it is true for most of us. We begin with useful dreams that they dissipate with experience. We take a job to make ends meet, and then another to improve our income, and then another. And before we know it, we have a career. It is a meandering path. Sometimes we find that what we are doing is something other than what we really want to do. What are you doing? As I said above, it is never too late to ask, am I doing what I want to do? Is it giving me all the benefits that I want and need? How close is it to my perfect job? Take a few moments now to think about it. It might help to look at the brief list that identifies what for me are the most important characteristics of a perfect job. Your perfect job. I would be happy to do the work I do for free. Remember, and it's what I was talking about. If you have a hobby that you do and you make things for people, how can you turn around and turn that into a business? Because you find a lot of people who are jewelry makers and designers, it's something that they did and their friends liked, the things that they made for themselves, and they eventually expanded it into a business. I believe it has value to me and to the people who pay for me for it. It is fully challenging. It engages both the logical and creative side of my brain. If you find that the what to do or the life is not perfect, don't panic. If it is paying the bills, it is something. Our first responsibility as moral citizens of the world is to support the financial well-being of our family. But if your work falls short in other areas, if, for example, it doesn't challenge your intelligence and imagination, you should commit to making changes. If you are lucky, you may discover an opportunity to slip into your perfect job. More likely, you could move toward it step by step by making adjustments, as I did in my career. To help you in this regard, I recommend that you read the book, The Pledge, The Perfect Partner. I have always considered the question, we're assumed to be around one spouse. And this is probably its original meaning, but it is also relevant to one's occupation. The people with whom you work, your boss, your partners, your colleagues, and your employees determine to a great extent both the satisfaction and success that you have with your working life. If you stop to think about the work experience you've had, you will realize that much of the pleasure or pain you've experienced came from the relationships you had, your interactions with the people with whom you work. And you may think that you have no choice in these matters. After all, you can't hire your boss, but in fact, you can. In choosing the business you work for, you are choosing your future colleagues. If you find yourself in a toxic work environment, a work environment that is political rather than entrepreneurial, don't hesitate to look for a better company. And you know, that is the biggest thing that what happens is people will go to work corporations, and they're there because they enjoy the income and they enjoy the control that it gives them in living a good quality of life. But whereas back in the earlier generations, you could go to a corporation and work there for life. Well, once the baby boomer generation came in, which was the years between 1946 and 64, what happened was these people kind of followed in their parents' footsteps, assuming they had a job for life, just like their parents, where they would go to work for a corporation, work their way up the ladder, and then once they worked their way up the ladder, then they were there 25 years, they would get their retirement, their gold watch, and they would retire in financial security. Well, you know, in the 1980s, in the late 1980s, early 1990s, all of that began to change. You started seeing the corporations merging, having two or three people holding the same job, and doing cutbacks, and offering early retirement packages. And today, you have no guarantee of a job with a corporation. Even though when you're in school, that's what they are encouraging to always remember, there is no job with a corporation, but what is happening is that companies that are coming into existence today are using the internet and websites to run their business. And what they're doing is hiring someone as an affiliate or a distributor or an associate. And you help them sell their products and you earn commission when you do that. That is just so you got to consider what is out there and how is it going to help you and what is it that you really love. Because today more and more people are working from home than going to a 9-to-5 job. And when it comes to hire employees, don't consider only their work skills and talents. Consider also whether or not you will enjoy working with them. The following characteristics should help you choose the best possible partners. He or she respects you. You have his or her back. He or she has yours. You don't expect him or her to change. You are happy with him or her as he or she is. These four characteristics may seem obvious, but I managed to ignore them for most of my working life. Gradually, I came to recognize how important it was for me to make good choices in terms of partners. These are the characteristics that, after all of these years, seem most important to me, the perfect place to live. Where you live and work is important, too. The physical environment that you naturally prefer very much affects your perfect life. Do you love the mountains, the place? plain, the beach. Do you prefer big, bustling cities and tranquil little towns? When you are starting out, you must go where the work is. But as you move up the ladder of business success, you will have more choice in the matter. This is especially true in today's world, where in so many industries, one can work remotely. Consider also your commute. Some people enjoy spending an hour or more every day commuting. They use this time profitably to listen to music or books on tape and so on. Other people, such as me, prefer a short commute. Locating my office a mile from my home has enhanced the quality of my life. I can walk, bike, or drive there in less than 15 minutes. More specifically, the quality of your immediate work environment, your office, affects the quality of your life, since you are likely to be spending a big portion of your active day in the one place. Make sure you like everything about it. Your office should not be an accidental junky place that has what you need. It should have a haven where you can work productively and a bit of paradise filled with art and artifacts that give you pleasure. Putting it all together, whether you are young or old, beginning a career or enjoying a retirement job, you can find good answers to all three questions. Start today by thinking about the three questions I listed at the beginning of the essay. Conjure up your perfect life, and then begin the process of having it. And let's reiterate what those three questions are again. What are you going to do? With whom are you going to do it? And where are you going to do it? And you know, when you think of all of these things and you think how important they are to who you are as an individual, then guess what? You will live the best quality of life possible where you want to live and how you choose to live it. You know, the biggest thing for a lot of people is what kind of quality of life do they want? Spend time thinking about it. And remember that you yourself can live the best quality of life possible within your means if you so choose. But it is a choice. It is something that you have to decide for yourself that you truly want to do and how you are going to make the right decisions for yourself to achieve your goals in life, no matter what they are. And the sad part is, for many of us, we need to look at a lot of things that we are doing right and things that we are doing wrong. So, think about it. You know, your perfect job could be something where it's something that you would be happy to do for free. I believe it has value to me, to the people who pay me for it. It is fully challenging. It engages both the logical and the creative sides of my brain. Because, you know, even when you work for someone else, if you are working in a field that you really enjoy doing, where you have the freedom to do what you enjoy doing, then guess what? It's not work. For me, let me tell you something. When I work for someone, I work best when I work alone, when I didn't have anyone sitting over my head telling me and monitoring everything that I did. Because for me, all of these things were all went back to the fact that I grew up in a home that was very abusive and very controlling. And I find that when I work alone and make decisions for myself, then that's when I'm at my best. So if you need to learn who you are and what's the true inner person, because, you know, some people are very outgoing. Some people like to control every situation they're in. And they really need the structure of the 9-to-5 job where they have to work on a deadline. Then you have someone that they like to do things by the book and they want to work for someone else. Not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. But if you are, then you need to be willing to take those choices. The problem is some people get stagnant in their lives. And what happens is you get to a point when you're stagnant, and guess what? You don't grow. You have to be willing to say, what are the pros and cons? Is it, if I stay here, what am I going to gain? If I leave, I know I lose that income, but what will that gain me in the long run? Will that help me expand and grow my possibilities, increase it? Because, you know, and you see this even in the acting field, that especially those that work in soap, and the way every industry right now is changing. You have no guarantee from one day to the next that you have a job. At one time, General Hospital was on the chopping block. It was very obvious to the viewers that their days were numbered. And then what happened was that some of the soaps went one stage, and then there was a big uproar by the viewers over it. But you know what? It's all business day. It's all cost effective. And what was a very popular genre back in the 80s and the early 90s, and today with cable TV and more options, the number of people who watch a show has dwindled so much that it becomes a situation of, is it worth it to keep that show on? And you're seeing more and more that a lot of these folks are migrating to the internet. And General Hospital is a good example of that, because this is a show that stayed on the air. And then they brought over an executive director and a writer from another soap opera. And that soap opera was sold or leased to Prospect Park. And it took them a year before they got to the point where they were ready to start filming and getting the show on the internet. And in the meantime, the executive producer and the writer brought over several of their actors playing the same role. And what happened was they were assuming that Prospect Park would fail, that the shows that were leased to them would come back to ABC, and they would not have to give up those actors. But guess what? It took them a year, but now they wanted their actors back because they felt that the show needed them to get its start on the internet, and then eventually they could release them. Well, you know what? It's what? What happened was that what they were counting on didn't happen. They had to release the actors, and now when the actors come back, they have to come back as completely new characters on the show when they return. So did they make the right decision to begin with? And remember, you can go to my website, and that website